heaven, the great God of heaven, and knowing that he's king over all the earth. We don't have to look at the things that's happening around us and hold our head down, because we got a God that's bigger than all of that. I'm thankful to be able to serve this mighty, wonderful king. We want to go to Zechariah 14 and 9. God Almighty, God is king over all the earth. His power, his majesty covers the whole earth and spans eternity. You know, we have kings in this world, and they have a certain amount of territory that they're responsible for, but none is like this king, because he's over all the earth, and not just the earth, but his dominion goes throughout eternity. Yes. He always was and always will be. These kings served for so many years. I think Queen, what was her last name?
Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes, she had something like 70 years of service. That's a long time. That's a lifespan for many people. And some is more than that.
Yeah.
But then she had to die. She had to go the way of all mankind. But our king never dies. He always was and always will be. So every generation has the opportunity to serve such a wonderful king. You know, this king has so much power and authority that nothing is too hard for him. We talked about different sicknesses and people having different things, like the little baby. I call her baby, 5, 6 years old. She's still a baby to me, with the eye, cancer in the eye. And yet I know that if God wills, he can speak the word and it's gone.
Amen.
I listened to your prayer and you were saying something about it be gone and not come back. God is able to do that.
Yeah.
What he intends to do for this little girl, I don't know. But I know he has the power. And so we don't need to be bowed down under all of the things that's happening, because God Almighty is able. You know, I was thinking about last year. We had vacation Bible school for the last 2 years. The Lord has given me God Almighty. That has been the thing. And this past year, it was God Almighty, the God of love. And that vacation Bible school, those thoughts have just been with me. And it seems like I can't even hardly get away from it, because we have such a wonderful God. You know, we live beneath our privilege sometimes. I think that we timid. We feel almost like he can't do it, or our problem's too big. But it's not.
No.
It's nothing too
That's
big.
Right.
I was praying about something yesterday, and do you know, it was a problem I had. You know when the Lord solved it? Yesterday. I was praying about it, and he solved it in the same day. And it was such an amazing way he worked it out. We have that kind of God. We need to tap into his power and his majesty. We need to honor him. I feel like if we could reverence God and look up to him as we are, it would affect what we do, what we say, and how we live. And so it's so important for us to see that we are serving the king over all the earth. He's over it. Can you read that scripture?
Zechariah 14:9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one.
One Lord. I mean, people have lords, and they have little gods that they worship that can't do a thing for them. But we got one that can do all things. Nothing is too hard for him. And so we want to look at his majesty and his... And I was thinking about... Sometimes I feel helpless to express how wonderful this God is. And we can't. In this human body, we can only get a glimpse of his majesty and his power. Yeah. And when we try to talk about it, we can only do a little part of what he really is. Like the Queen of Sheba said about Solomon, the half has not yet been told. I can say probably not even a half has yet been told. Just a little speck of it. And when we go to heaven, we're going to see such a wonderful God. These bodies can't contain it. That's why we can't even live and see the face of God. But you know, he's so awesome. Sometimes people say, that's awesome. You know, I don't even like to use that word unless I'm talking about God, because that's who's awesome. All right, let's go on to Psalms 106 and 2. So we want to look at, just in the word, get a glimpse of the majesty and power of God.
Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise?
Can't. We can just show forth a little bit of it. We can't show all of it. But we want to do a little bit. Express a little bit of his greatness. Let's go to Psalms 145. And we're going to read verses 3 through 5. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wonderful, wondrous works. So see, we want to speak of his wondrous work. We want to magnify the Lord. We want to help people to see what a great God we have. Isaiah 40:28. God is worthy of our praise and our adoration. That Psalm 46 in our songbook, I think of, it says, if I had 10,000 lives, I couldn't praise him. I only have one. But if I had 10,000 of them, I still couldn't praise the Lord enough.
Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding.
There is no searching of his understanding.
That's right.
It's just, he's so magnificent. I want us to sing, How Great Thou Art. I have some, that purple folder, I have some copies. Let's sing that song and let's magnify the Lord.
Oh Lord my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider all thy works thy hands have made. I see the star. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
For his saints I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountains grandeur, and see the harbor, and feel the gentle breeze, then sing my soul, I yes, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Lord.
I scarce
can take it. Yes,
that's right.
That on the cross.
Yes, Lord. important for us to realize how great God is so we can see him as he is. I think about sometimes people carelessly use the name of God in vain. They use it in curse words or just talking every day. But we should not do that. We should reverence him. We should honor him. We should respect him. We should see him for who he is. And that's what we want to do today. Let's go to Hebrews 4:13. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This great God sees us. There is nothing that's hid from him. And do you know, if you honor him and respect him and see him for who he is, you're going to have the fear of God on your heart. It'll put a fear to displease him. It'll put a fear to not use his name in vain. And not, but we fear him, not that we're afraid that he's going to crush us and knock us down, but we honor him. That's the kind of fear. Yeah. And so much so, till we're careful. It's going to put a carefulness in our lives. Let's go on. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23 to 31.
Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nation, among all nations.
Yes.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods.
Amen.
For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name.
Yes.
Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Amen.
Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nation, the Lord reigneth.
You see, God is worthy of our praise, and we should give him our praise, but we should also fear him and realize that he made the heavens and earth. We need to realize that our breath is in his hands. We could not have even been able to open our eyes this morning and see the beautiful sunshine that he's given us. We could not have been able to even smell the plants and the flowers or get up and walk or move or have our being because of him. That's why we're able to do these things. So we should honor him. When we get up in the morning, our first job should be to reverence God and to praise him and to honor him. Thank you, Lord, that you let me see the light of a new day. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me use of my hands and my feet and my body. Thank you, Lord, that I can eat. Everything that we're able to do, even think, if it wasn't for him, we couldn't even think straight. We wouldn't even know who we are or where we are. But God has given us all these things. He's worthy of our praise and our honor and our adoration. And when we begin to see God for who he is, it's going to change us. We're not going to be the same. It helps us to fear him. It helps us to want to live to please him. We don't want to displease him. I want to talk about my mother a little bit, which I do a lot of. But my mother didn't have to do a lot of whipping like some people do. She didn't have to. You know what she did? She loved us. And she also not only loved us, but somehow, I can't tell you how, she made us, me personally, love her so much that I didn't want to displease her. If I felt something that I was doing was displease her, it hurt me. And I believe that's the level that we should have for God. Not just, I got to do this because I know if I don't, I'll go to hell. No, that's true. But I believe he wants us to get to a higher level of respect for him.
Yeah.
So much so that, you know, I don't want to say this because I feel like God would be displeased. I don't want to act this way because it displeases him. I love him. He wants us to reverence him so that we begin to love him and care about what he wants us to do. It will make a change in our life if we have that level of respect and honor for him.
Yes.
And so, we want to read on. Acts 17 and 24. You know, we don't have our destiny. God has it. God has our destiny in his hand. And we want to realize that and so live before him that he'll be pleased. Sometimes people feel like, I got this, you know, I can do this. I went to school and I got a degree and I can get me this kind of job and I can make this kind of money and I can have this kind of house and this kind of car and all of this. You remember the man that had had his fruits, did very well, and he said, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to pull down my barns and build greater barns, and I'm going to say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord spoke to him and said, this night shall your soul be required of thee. Then whose will those things be? You see, we can plan, and we can have all these big ideas. I'm going to be this, and I'm going to do that, and everything. And the Lord can say, it's enough. Yeah. Come home. Where are all those plans going? Who's going to take care of all that stuff that you were going to, collected? So we need to realize that our life and breath is in his hand, and he holds our destiny. And we need to respect him to the level and fear him and obey him. Amen. Acts 17, 24 and 20-26.
Chapter 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us.
Yes. So God made us. And seeing that he made us, let's fear him and reverence him. And I was thinking about that scripture say he took one blood and made all nations. And we know he did that. We couldn't do that. This is a mighty God that can take one blood and make all nations. It's so much that God has done. When you look out that window, you can just start naming all the things that God created.
That's right.
And we don't need to think we're such great people and we can do this or that. We need to realize we're just a little piece of dust. Yeah. Hebrews 12:18-21. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. This happened during Moses' time. And the Lord came down and they were trembled at God's majesty and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. You see, these people got a little taste of the power of God when he came down at that time. And it says, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Do you know God is such an awesome God till if he just came close, like he came to that mountain, they couldn't even touch the mountain. And if he spoke, Moses himself who spoke with God spoke to him mouth to mouth. But yet he saw God's greatness till it made him shake. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to have that kind of fear before God, to know that he is mighty and there are things that he could do that's beyond our understanding. Hebrews 4 and 9 through 12. So we read part of this, but we didn't read the first part, so we're going to read the first part of it.
Hebrews 4 and 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his.
Brother, I'm sorry, we're going to skip that. I'm sorry, I had gone back over it, and I decided not to. Ecclesiastes 3 and 14. So what are we saying? What is all this? In Ecclesiastes 3 and 14, the conclusion of the whole thought here is that we need to what?
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. For God, fear God, keep his commandments, and this is the whole duty of man. For God to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
This is the whole thing. This is why we need to reverence God, because we're going to face him one day. You know, we're here for a little span of time, and then we're passing off, young and old.
That's right.
And so we need to realize that this great God that we have had an opportunity to know about is going to face us face to face. And when he does, he's going to bring every work into judgment, whether we did good or whether we did evil. So we want to have this great fear of him and reverence him. But we want to see also we are where we are, who we are. Sometimes I think people think they're Mr. It. Have you heard that? Some people look at themselves as Mr. or Mrs. It, but we're nothing. We're but dust. We want to see. I'm trying to skip some things. I have a lot here. We want to see who we are and what we are. Let's go to Isaiah 40 and read verses 12 through 26.
Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing.
Yes. You see here? Who is able to do this but God? He can measure the mountains. He can... The whole world, actually. Let me go to, hold on just a minute. I want to go back to verse 12. Go read that one again, verse 12.
Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the spans, and comprehended the dust of the earth as in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance?
Look at the power of God. He can take the waters, all the waters, and put it in his hand. We can't do that. We do good to get a few drops of water in our hand. But God is so powerful. And then the mountains, He could take the mountains and weigh them on a scale, and the hills in a balance. God is so awesome. And then it says, who can direct the Spirit of the Lord? He doesn't even need us. Sometimes we want to tell the Lord, well, Lord, I think we need this, and I think I need that. But we can't really counsel God because he knows best.
Right.
We need to ask him, what do you think? What is your will, Lord? How do you look at this? Ask him. We can't give him any counsel. And then it says, whom took he counsel, or who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment? No one has to tell the Lord what to do. We need to ask him what to do. Behold the nations. This is really just hard to wrap my mind around it. The nations are as a drop in the bucket. All people, all of us, with God, we're like a drop in the bucket. Oh, how great thou art. That song is so real. Oh, Lord, my God. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. This is the God of heaven. This is the one that we serve. And we must recognize that we are but a drop in the bucket. And we're as dust before him. And one grain of dust at that. One of us might equal to one grain of dust compared to God. And so we want to have the fear of God on our heart. I think about Jesus. Jesus was part of God. He is the Holy Trinity, one part of it. And he knew the greatness of God. He knew it when he came down here. And you know, he respected God so much that anything God told him to do, he would do it. And this is the level that we want to get to where God speaks and we do it. Because we honor him and we adore him and we appreciate him. I want to read John 14 and 31.
John 14 and 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go here.
Jesus was saying, there was more to this, but he wanted the world to know that he loved the Father. And when the Father spoke, he did. That's what we should do the same. As the Lord speaks, we do it. As he leads, we go. As he talks to us, we want to be obedient to him. This is why we need to honor him. This is why we need to look up to this great God, who is the God of all, the King of all the earth. Pray for me.